This is the Morning Huddle, a look back at last week's game, a preview of tonight's contest, and a recap of all Maverick football with Maverick head football coach Brian Hewlett and the voice of the Mavericks, Terry Slavens. Brought to you by First Financial Bank. And now we go live to Terry Slavens and Coach Hewlett.
Very pleasant. Good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to a homecoming edition of the Morning Huddle here live from First Financial Bank as we are getting ready to host Grandview tonight. But right now we're joined by head coach, athletic director Brian Hewlett. Coach Hewlett, before we talk Grandview, let's talk a little Jacksboro Tigers. We went down to Jacksboro last week and came away with a 60-0 victory.
Yeah, it's a good job. We traveled for the first time, which is always kind of, you know, a new ordeal, and you worry about playing a team that was coming off a loss and had 21 seniors playing at home for the first time, which is scary. A two-round playoff team, and I don't know if they got some issues going where they just didn't play as well as they could, or we jumped on them and didn't give them a chance. But you know, it really turned into a good night for us, and you know, we really didn't have to sweat that thing out too long.
No, the only thing you had to sweat out was trying not to score too many points. I know that's a tough job when you got kids that are getting an opportunity to play that don't get a lot of opportunities maybe in some games. You can't tell them not to score, and we put up 17 points in the second half.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to really play the first half out as hard and as fast and as, you know, with everybody as we could, but I think it got somewhere around 5 minutes to go in the half, and it's 47-0, and so at that point, you know, we tried to walk that fine line of finishing the game, letting your kids get work, but also at the same time take care of the other opponent, because you know we've all been on the other side of that. No one wants to be embarrassed or humiliated, so you know, that's just what you got to do, and you got to do the best that you can at it. You learn to use clock, take some time there, be sure you stay in bounds, and you know, just try to call things that you think you can maybe find a few yards with, but not bust a big one and score.
And one of the things that you were able to do, Zach Carlton, being new to the program, he got some extra work in the second half, still learning the system. You also got to get Josh Gosnell in and some runs and carries back there. A couple of different looks at quarterback, in the second half.
Yeah, and Brent Bailey.
Brent actually
had 120-130 yards, you know. So Brent and Josh, being sophomores, got to get them in there and get a lot of playing time. Really probably wanted to get Zach a little more. Like you said, he got banged on his knee once, and nothing, you know, he wasn't even major the other night, but no need in taking a risk on it. So didn't use him as much, but, you know, we probably would have used him in a little bit of quarterback as well as Jeremy. I think Jeremy said after the game that made his year to get in there and do a little quarterbacking again. But, no, it was good to get those kids some work and, you know, get out of there healthy and get the victory.
One of the highlights for Zach Carlton was the opening kickoff of the second half. Nice return. I thought he was going to bust it for the score, but little number 7 chased him down from behind and got him at the 9-yard line.
Yeah, that kid was fast.
He was,
if I remember at that place, he was fastest in our area track meet last year. So probably no shame in getting run down by him. But, boy, you know, our guys did a super job blocking on that. And it parted like the Red Sea, and Zach took off. And just like you said, about 10 yards short of getting in the end zone. It'd been nice to get a kickoff in the end zone, but, you know, it's a good return nonetheless.
Defensively, posted the shutout after giving up 30 points to Class 3A Sweetwater team the week before. I thought the defense really stepped it up from week number one.
Yeah, I played good. You know, I think we had one lapse there where we missed a tackle on our sideline. He scooted down the sideline for 20-25 yards. But other than that, you know, we never let them get loose. Covered well, rushed passer well, but you know, it stopped the running game. You know, they have a big quarterback, 210-pound quarterback that can come downhill, and so we did a good job containing them. And it's always great to get a shutout. You know, those things are hard because you factor in offensive turnovers that turn into touchdowns, punt and kickoff returns that turn into touchdown, bad punts or bad field position, offense just a turnover. It's not an immediate touchdown to where it gives you a short field, you know, and so those are hard to come by, and it's always good to get one of those.
And we talked about number 7, and Zach Carlton. Kevin Mahoney saved the shutout. Chase that down the line. But
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He did. That's right on our sideline. And you know, Kevin's got a little speed to him. And he was able to run that kick down and, you know, let us play another play. And then eventually we ended up pushing them back and punt out of that.
Eight different Mavericks scored in that ball.
That's good. You know, we addressed that again yesterday, you know, with our kids. And you can look at pass yards, run yards, tackles, sacks. You can look at all that stuff you want. But, you know, to us it really doesn't matter as long as it there's you go – you know, we spread it around, and we're getting the job done as a team. I think somebody from the media, you know, talking about Josh this week, asked me about his six touchdown passes, you know, and I said, to me, it's more about six touchdown receptions by six different people, you know, and that makes it harder on the other team, which at the same time makes your team better just because you got more people that can do things. And so, you know, that was the impressive part. Then you throw in the – I think Honey had the rush, they didn't have the reception, and JD recovered the punt in the end zone, or the fumble in the end zone. So, you know, he had eight of them getting touchdowns.
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing stat. Another pretty amazing thing, Coach, Josh Moreland named the Ford Tough Player of the Week in 2A this week. That gives us three quarterbacks in a row, beginning with Jared, and then Trent, and now Josh. Well, I guess we missed a year last year, but your last three starting quarterbacks have all won the Ford Big Tough Award.
You know, that's a good honor. And it's like I said, and Josh knows this, and Josh will be the first to say this. You know, that's a testament to good offensive line play, good receiver play, and good defensive play as much as anything. But it's good for the kids to get to be a part of that. It's probably tougher. It's probably the toughest week of the year to win that because they combine all week zero and week one performances. So we tried to make sure after the fact that Josh was in there for because of both weeks, and hope that the cumulative effect of the first two games really helped override on that. And so, you know, it's a great honor for him, but also a great honor for our whole team.
And you mentioned sort of the unsung heroes, the offensive line, really giving Josh a lot of time to make those passes. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, they are. You know, we felt like coming in the year with four of them back that would be something that we could lean on as the year got going and got our receivers in the mix. So hopefully that continues tonight because they're going to be challenged with that tonight. But, you know, when you can get protection and give kids time to get open, it sure makes it easier.
All right, Coach, we're going to go ahead and take our first break. We'll come back and talk about a little Thursday night football when we come back right after this on KTX.
Hi, I'm Candy Kennedy with First Financial Bank, and we have nothing but pride for our Eastland Mavericks. The spirit they carry into each game is the same spirit that fuels our community, and that fuels us. So we're here to help you on and off the field any way we can, because at First Financial Bank, it's you first. First Financial Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Welcome back to the Morning Huddle here on KATX. We're at First Financial Bank. If you're out about, stop by. The cookies are out of the oven, so, and the coffee's fresh, so stop by First Financial Bank. Coach, let's go into last night's contest. Grandview traveled here with their junior high. We had a couple of scrimmage formats, and then the eighth grade played a live game situation.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you forget how fun Thursday nights are, and, you know, and we reminded last night. We have three junior high teams. We got a seventh and eighth grade red, and then we combine for a black team that most other schools are in the same boat if they have enough to do that. So we started off with our seventh grade red, and, you know, obviously in limited play action in a scrimmage format, and just making sure we get everybody in there pretty much equal reps as we can. Did a super job. I was very pleased, as well as the rest of our coaches were. You know, I think we scored once. They didn't score, but it's one of those things, if you're playing a game, it probably would have turned in a hurry because they had a hard time. I don't know if they got back to the line of scrimmage more than a time or two. We got some big kids. You don't hear me say that very much. Probably the first time in 6 years. We've got some big kids in our seventh grade. I actually think every starting offensive lineman is over 200 pounds.
Wow.
As a seventh grader. So, you know, we're just a big group of kids. It really was just a fun night for them, and it was enjoyable seeing. Then we played our black team, and nobody got in the end zone for either team. I think it's best explained by we had two good chances to score, and they only had one. So we're going to take the upper hand on that. But just good to get out there. And, you know, there's a lot goes on just making sure they can get lined up and get in the right place. Then our eighth grade defeated Grandview 20-6. And I'm going to say the Grandview eighth grade would have been comparable to our freshmen or sophomores on size and speed and ability, or at least from looks. Just big, good-looking, fast, athletic kids. And our eighth grade was probably one of the most physical, dominating defensive performances I've seen in a while. It was fun to watch. You know, by the end of the night, the Grandview kids really didn't want too much of carrying the football, and, you know, and say, well, you got 6 points on the board. That was done by pick six. So they didn't score on our defense at all. And actually, all three of our junior high games last night allowed 0 points in the end zone or zero touchdowns in the end zone. So it was a good night to start off the year.
Junior high programs, they don't get to start practicing until school starts. They start a little bit later, but I know I saw a whole bunch of parents around town yesterday that could not wait. A lot of seventh grade parents, it's their first experience at going to the games and cheering on their kids. And they were all
Coach Marwood says that the first Thursday game day is the craziest day in the junior high. He says it's a thousand question day per kid.
And they're asking Marwood.
They're asking all day long, he said. He said it's an exciting day over there.
Yeah. And I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, you know, that first day of seventh grade practice when you issue them equipment and you watch them, trying to figure out where all this goes,
yeah.
You know.
And then the first day, yeah, that's fun. And the first day in pads, getting out there and watching them, those are enjoyable days.
My junior year of high school, we had a Swedish exchange student that was going to kick for us, and that was a treat trying to teach him where everything went and what to do with everything.
I bet so. I've got some interesting stories. We'll probably just keep to ourselves right now about that first day in equipment. But it's good. It's fun.
All right, Coach, the JV teams played a split schedule last night. You had one down in Grandview and one up in Clyde.
Yes, our JV Black went to Clyde last night and got beat 27-12. You know, and I don't like to say this too much, but Coach Morris, Coach Lemons just really felt like it wasn't necessarily poor effort, but it's poor execution, and we just didn't play very well. Not taking anything away from Clyde, but I think we had seven turnovers.
Wow.
You know, and you're not going to win many games when you do that. One of them actually was a pick six, and then we gave up two long touchdowns where we missed tackles in the backfield and just didn't perform. And, you know, those kids actually had a really good week, and it's not indicative of what they've been doing or what they will continue to do this year, but just had a rough night and ended up didn't get the job done. Then our JV Red traveled to Grandview, and that's a long travel. You know, it's 45 minutes north of Waco, and to say that, you know, it's a long time to sit on the bus. I can't sit still that long, and I know those kids have a hard time doing that. And they got there and ended up being a 14-14 halftime score. And I just don't think we kind of got all the bus rides shaken out of us. And then came out the second half and played good and ended up being 42-14 and gave up a late touchdown to win 42-20. So finally got acclimated and ended up playing a good game.
And, Coach, before we take our next break, you mentioned the seven turnovers in that one ball game. How in the world does a team force six turnovers and still only win by 6 points like the Cowboys did?
You know, I reminded a couple of our coaches of that stat that over the last 15 years in the NFL, if you receive five or more turnovers, the average margin of victory is 21. And the Cowboys hung on the other night. So I don't know what that says, but I think I know, hopefully anyway.
And that was just a little shot at some of our friends like Marwitz and Householder back in the studio.
Yeah, you keep it up, guys. Keep it up.
That's right. Coach, we'll take another break. We'll come back, and we'll talk Grandview Zebras right after this on KATX.
At First Financial Bank, we take great pride in our community and our Eastland Mavericks. The Mavericks strive for excellence and virtue every day. We aspire to these same goals for our customers. I'm David Bailey, and we're proud to support the Mavericks, and we'd be proud to support you too. Come in today and see how we can help you achieve excellence. First Financial Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Welcome back to the Morning Huddle here on KETX as we go into the final segment. Before we get into the Grandview Zebras, let's talk a little bit, Coach, about some other games from last week that involving our district opponents. Vernon over Breckenridge, 48-3.
Vernon's the old Vernon. Vernon's good. I think that's more. You see, he's probably less about Breckenridge and more about Vernon. Vernon's loaded. I know when I talked to the Graham coaches at our scrimmage, they were really worried about them. So, just playing a really quality opponent.
And then Cisco over Clyde, 48-14. I understand Clyde was without their quarterback in that ball game.
Yeah, they were without the quarterback, and I think without a receiver. And then also a kid named Austin, 17, linebackers, probably the best linebacker in our district. So, without quite a bit, and then of course Cisco's plenty good, and just kind of one of those things. I don't know the whole situation, but I know it's 35-0 the first quarter, just kind of snowballed and went from there.
Coach Cervedo gets a win at Millsap last week, 17-0.
Got them shut out, and things like that are only going to improve and get better for those guys as the year goes on. I think they have maybe Santo this week.
Yes.
I would probably think some more of the same, for them tonight.
Comanche wins 31-20. They're the only team in our district to be 2-0 like us.
Yeah, Comanche just going to continue to get better, especially if you can. And they're going to be tough to beat if you can let them hang in there. They're in the wing tee, and they're going to take their 3 or 4 yards of play and grind it out. And if you play from behind or even with them, then you're going to be in it the whole night.
Jim Ned, at one point this game was 28-26. Albany goes on for the win, 43-26.
Yeah, I think probably a lot of Jim Ned was living off that first win, and tough to they were on the road, tough to travel, coming off a big win, and they started out down bad, 3 or 4 yeah. touchdowns for, and I think they just didn't get going quite at the start, and probably would have got the win otherwise.
In the game that Merkel won last year. Against Wall gets a shutout win, 50-0 over Merkel.
Yeah, you look at it, and Wall's plenty good, but I think there's a punt return touchdown in there. There's a fumble return touchdown. Merkel's quarterback was banged up, and I think they had at one point three of their starting linemen weren't playing. So, Merkel's pretty hurt right now, but they'll get healthy by the time we play them and district rolls around, and they'll be good.
Tonight's game, other games tonight, Jim Ned, it doesn't get any easier for them. They travel to Anson.
Yeah, Anson's tough. They're a good team, big, strong, fast, and physical.
You mentioned Dublin at Santo. Another game that we'll keep an eye on, Comanche hosts Cisco.
Yeah, interesting. I know Cisco's plenty good. They're really talented, as talented as they've probably ever been. But it'd be a good measuring stick for Comanche and see where they're at.
Clyde at Whitney, that's an intriguing game.
Yeah, I don't know where Clyde is with their health. Coach Gilchrist is back at Whitney after being gone 1 year, and he's got his son's quarterback. I think he's probably a junior now. He's a big 6'4", 210, 215-pound kid that they're going to put some points up. I think they put up 49 on Crawford last week, so. Tells you they can do some things offensively.
Another road trip I'm glad we don't have to make.
That's right.
Merkel versus Stanford.
Merkel's pre-district schedule is loaded. Seminole to Wall to Stanford doesn't get any easier. I think they just got to spend some time getting healthy.
And then Breckenridge travels to Sweetwater. That's a common opponent for us.
Yeah. I talked to Coach Pierce, who was over here this week, thought Sweetwater looked pretty good. And I'm telling you, Breckenridge will get in there and play with them and make it a good game if not beat them.
All right, Coach, let's talk about our game tonight. First of all, we always talk about homecoming, and that's always a distraction. I know you coaches have preached that all week, that it's not about them. You play the football game, everybody comes here to watch you. But this week's had a little bit added attraction to it because several publications and .coms have picked this as one of the games of the week in the state with Eastland and Grandview.
Yeah, from the homecoming standpoint, I'm going to tell you, it's really been quiet around our place. And I don't know if it's just kind of removed from our field house and our practice field, or if we've been here long enough that our kids understand that, or if we just have mature kids. you know, that's been a zero distraction this week. So, you know, that's been good. And we, you know, I think you come across today, then you got X number of pep rallies you got to go to. But you know, that's part of it, and you just got to learn to deal with it. As far as the games of the week, you know, that's a great honor. That's where you want to be. Sometimes maybe added pressure, but with that also comes added excitement. You know, I think if you're going to be one of those teams that's fighting to be 0-10 to 3-7, they usually don't give you those games. So, you know, it's an honor to be playing in those things. And, you know, as a football player and a competitor, that's where you want to be.
And, Coach, we going back to last year, you know, our worst loss of the year last year was at Grandview. We lost 49-21. Down 14-0, less than 2 minutes into the ball game, but then ended up being down 49-0 at one point in that ball game.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder. But you know, it was just a bad thing, you know, and to go in and talk about that those offensive starters that had us down 49-0. I think one of them graduated, so 10 of them are back. You know, I don't know, maybe. From that point on last year, we grew up and played a lot better. You know, I think we rattled off 9 or 10 in a row. After that, probably didn't play anyone as good till we lost the wall. But, you know, it's a combination of long bus trip, bad weather, it's raining, not being very good at that time, inexperienced in some areas, and then playing a good opponent. And they just jumped all over us and made us like it. And, you know, there's nothing we could do about it.
What can the fans expect offensively from Grandview?
Like I said, you know, I think what I opened our scouting report and told our kids, here's what you can say about them. They're big, fast, strong, and good. You know, they lost, I think, one starter. It's quarterback, and they had a kid that was on a freshman team last year. It's a sophomore. They like a lot. But then the Alito backup quarterback moved in there last spring as well, so they're using him. So they got two good quarterbacks. I don't think they've – as of right now, they haven't fallen in love with one over the other, so they're playing them both, and then one's more of a runner and one's more of a passer, so kind of getting the best of both worlds out of two of them. But the strength of their team is probably going to be their five offensive linemen and their running back.
Running back is, what's his name? You know?
Martinez.
Martinez, yes.
Big, big, strong, fast kid. They got a all-state tight end at 6'4", 240. They got all-state wide receiver from last year, caught 85 balls. So, I mean, they can hurt you in a lot of ways, and they can do just about everything.
Defensively?
Little more of the same. I think they actually graduated, but they graduated three of those guys, so eight of them are back. And they found three more to plug in there. I know they consider this their best, fastest defense that they've ever had. And just really similar to what I said about them offensively, they're big up front, and then, you know, they're just fast on the back end. And kind of what I tried to relate to our kids is very similar to the first scrimmage with Graham. You know, the windows and the spots of playing Graham versus, you know, maybe some of our other opponents, that window is real little in that game. Now, other games it's big. Well, the window or the opportunity to make or miss a play is going to be real small again tonight, you know. So where have we come from starting the year out to now to making those plays? And, you know, that's where we'll be.
Both schools, Eastland and Grandview, have had big wins. They opened their season with a 70-0 win. We had the 60-0 win last week. The other games last week, I think theirs was quite a bit closer. Who did they play?
They beat Lago Vista 21-7.
So they've given up 7 points defensively.
On a reverse, kind of a fluke reverse. So, you know, they've given up nothing. And, you know, Lago Vista's a top 15, top 18 team in the state in our division. So just a big school down by, I think, the school district next to Lake Travis, and they got around 50 kids on varsity. Just a really talented team that Grandview pretty well shut down last week.
And, of course, Grandview plays in the district, I believe. Do they play in the district with Godley?
Yes.
And they beat Paradise in week one, 70-0.
Yes.
Score.
Yeah.
Averaging 46 points a game. We're averaging 50-some-odd points a game, or 49 points a game. I can't remember exactly. We gave up to 30 points. The Sweetwater defense stepped up last week. What is the keys to what? if you're going to tell your defense, we got to do this tonight to win this ball game, what are you going to tell them?
Oh, man, you know, we got to stop the run. You know, that's first and foremost. And, you know, I'm telling you, it's easier for me to sit here and tell you that we've got to do that than to do it. You know, they don't have – didn't put weights on their roster, but just by looking at them, and you'll see them tonight, you know, they're going to be in that 240 to 260, all five of them. And you throw a 240-pound tight end in there, and you throw a 200-plus-pound running back in there, and same with the quarterback. You know, that's hard to do. And so we got to be able to sit in there and stop the run, and then they're going to tempo you just like we will. If they get you on your heels, you got to be ready, and they're going to line up and snap the ball again. And then, you know, along with if you got a good running game, you're going to have a good play-action passing game. So be able to stop the long pass play over the top.
And offensively, one of the keys all the time, protect the football.
Yeah, so, you know, I quizzed your kids that yesterday, what would you say is the number one thing that we've done offensively and we preach and talk about, and they'll say zero turnovers. You know, and we haven't had them. And, you know, and these big turnovers are big in every game. You know, we were kidding about the Cowboys and that stuff earlier and talked about our freshmen the other night or last night. But, you know, when you get a hotly contested competitive game, turnover margin is one of the most telling stats. So we've got to take care of the ball, and it's harder to do against a team that's fast and, you know, going to make, as we just talked about, close those windows. So we got to be there and take care of the ball, and we will find a way at some point, hopefully all night, to move the ball. But when we get out in there and scoring opportunities, we got to put points on the board. And so, you know, we've been in these games before in the past 3 or 4 years. Or even back to the wall game last year where, we moved the ball in between the 20s all night long, but get in the red zone and either stall out or have a turnover. So you got to take care of the ball, and ultimately when you get out there, put points on the board.
All right, Coach, that's going to do it for this segment of the Morning Huddle here at First Financial Bank. Good luck to you. And invite everybody to tune in. If you can't make it to the game, we're expecting a big crowd, but if you can't make it, KTX Radio 97.7, also KTXRadio.com. Pregame 7 o'clock, kickoff 7:30. Thanks to my engineer back in the studio, Matthew Householder. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, I'm Terry Slavin. Have a fabulous weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to The Morning Huddle from First Financial Bank in Eastland. Join us every Friday morning at 10:30 as we recap all things Maverick football. The Morning Huddle, a special sports presentation of the HPR Network, the Radio Giant.